absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, can't touch this. Look at my eyes, man, can't touch this.
Hello, 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 and welcome once again, the first Sunday in May of 2014, and I'm telling you people, you know what time it is. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, as always, like we say. Today is the master plan. We got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, today I should say, this morning. We got a little bit of boxing, a little bit of NFL, a little bit of basketball, even some horse racing. We got so much going on this weekend, especially yesterday, excuse me, and last night. If you want to join this party, this AM, the number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220 is the place to be, like I always say, if you want to talk to me. And as always, like I say, this show and the phone are sponsored by Fantasy Sports Book Casino. .com. Let me say that again. Fantasy Sports Book and Casino.com, where winners win and players was play. Excuse me, where players win and winners play. I'll get it together. I'll get it together. Trust me. Now, like I said, we got a heck of a show in store today. There was so much going on yesterday. We're talking about basketball. We're talking about more basketball. We're talking about the Kentucky Derby. We're talking about late in the evening. Now, you take your pick. After you've been at the day at the track, watching whatever, even watching on TV, or flipping back and forth because the NBA playoffs were also on, and then they went on late into the night, and then if you got tired of watching the NBA playoffs, then championship boxing was on, and it was a heck of a card, a pay-per-view card. I don't even know what to talk about first. You know, I'll start this way because the fact is where I'll go first. There were not one, not two, but three game sevens yesterday. Three game sevens, and some of these higher seeded teams were fighting for their respective lives. A 1-8 seed that people were been lambasting for the last 2 months was playing a game seven. And who knew what was going to happen in that one? I mean, really, the first one, right off the bat, the Atlanta Hawks, the eighth seed in the East against the number one seed Indiana Pacers, who fought so hard, and it meant so much to them to get the number one seed, to get in the playoffs, to have home court all throughout the playoffs. Indiana, I'm telling you, be careful what you wish for, because you got the number one seed, but it still didn't do you any good. Atlanta Hawks took you to the brink of elimination and humiliation if you went down against them. Roy Hibbert, was like the invisible man for the last two or three games. Decided, you know what? He finally found himself. He was a force. Had 5 blocks, 13 points, 7 rebounds. Roy Hibbert came to play. And I'm not saying he led the way, but you could see the intensity. You could see that the real Indiana Pacers decided to step up and finally decided to play a game that they were people knew they could play, and dispatched the Atlanta Hawks in 7, 92-80. And I'd have to give it to it because I watched this game. And people, as you know, as you've been hearing me throughout the late part of the NBA season and going into the first round of the playoffs, I've said I don't watch NBA games. But you got 3 game sevens yesterday and 2 more today, which we'll get to. How can you not watch? How can you not watch? So what did I do? Even though it was my wife's birthday, and I got to say happy birthday to my wife. She had her birthday yesterday, and we had things to do and people to see. Took the time out and sat down and watched this game because I was really interested to see what Indiana Pacers team was going to show up. Was the one that struggled and lost 3 games to the Atlanta Hawks and looked bad at one game that was down by 30 points at one point and was on the brink of getting humiliated, or was it the Indiana Pacers team, for the most part, that played big-time basketball for 3 quarters of the season? Dispatched the 8 seed, the Atlanta Hawks. Well, like I said, 92-80. You had Paul George leading the way in scoring. Let me get this up here for now. Come on. Paul George leading the way in scoring, scoring 30 points, had 11 rebounds, and 3 assists and 2 steals, followed by the Stephon Stephenson, who had Lance Stephenson, who had 19 points, and George Hill had 15. And I'm not saying that it was bad, but Roy Hibbert had a double in points, where he hadn't scored a point in 2 games. 2 games. Like I said, he was an invisible man. Dead man walking. You didn't know what was going to happen here. Well, they showed up, and it was a team effort. I'm telling you right now, even though David West only scored 4 points, his most important contribution was not this game. It was the game before this. They got to them to the 7th game when they needed some direction and some force, and David West provided that for him in Game 6 to get him to Game 7. And once they got him to Game 7, the aforementioned guys are named Paul George, George Hill, Roy Hibbert, Lance Stephenson rose up and came through when the Pacers needed the most. Now, I got a call on the – looks like it's a Skype call. I'm always leery of these calls, but I'll bring them in, see what happens, and then we'll go from there. Caller from Skype, welcome to the Master Plan. State your name and tell me what you got to say. Hello? Are you there? Are you there? You are not there. Okay. put you back on mute. See what happens. Anyway, like I was saying, let's try it again. Caller from Skype, are you there? You are not there. Okay, no problem. Anyway, like I was saying, David West helped get him to this point, and the other four guys took it from there. Now they rest for a short time before they begin the next series, and I'm looking forward to see if they can carry this momentum. They can carry this confidence. They can carry the realization that if they don't play well together, and I emphasize together, that they will not go far in the playoffs. I guarantee you that. Let's move on to another game seven, where the Oklahoma City Thunder, with all the, I wouldn't say controversy, but all the talk from a hometown paper calling Kevin Durant Mr. Unreliable. He scored 30-something points in the last game to help get him to the seventh game at home. Now, I have to emphasize this, and I should have mentioned it before. Two of the three seventh games were played at home, okay? Let me put it this way. All three of them were played, quite naturally played at home. I should say that. That only makes sense. It's a game seven. So the higher seed always plays at home. So let's go past that. What I want to say was this. The Grizzlies were a little bit handicapped in this game, to say the least. They had their big gun. Quite naturally, Zach Randolph couldn't play because he got suspended for throwing a punch in the prior game in Game 6. So he was suspended one game. Mike Connolly had a groin problem or a hamstring problem, one or the other. And even though he did score 20 points in his game, dishing out nine assists, and he almost had a double-double. He gutted it out, but I think the biggest loss to cause Memphis to lose this game was Zach Randolph, not having his force in the middle, not having his points from the middle, and his presence all together was a advantage, quite naturally, for the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I have to tell you, Kevin Durant and company came to play. Kevin Durant, 33 points, 8 rebounds. He came to play. Russell Westbrook, 27 points, 10 rebounds. 16 assists. Russell Westbrook is Mr. Game 7. You know, comes Game 7, like he said in his press conference, I want to go home. Do not want to go home. So what do you do to prevent that? You give your team a triple-double. 27 points, 16 assists, 10 rebounds. Caron Butler, 15 points, 4 rebounds. Since he's been inserted in the lineup, the Oklahoma City Thunder has another option, a third option there, or third and fourth option, I should say. More dynamic offense. The ball moves around a lot more, and it resulted in a win. Serge Ibaka, 12 points, 4 rebounds. So the starting five, four of them were in doubles. 12 points, 33 points, 15 points, 27 points. And Reggie Jackson coming off the bench with 16 points and giving and also 3 rebounds. And like happened, like you would normally think would happen, they were, meaning the Grizzlies, were dispatched from the playoffs, and they're going fishing, just like the Atlanta Hawks. 120, Oklahoma. 109, the Grizzlies. Now, I did not watch this game, but I just assumed. And these playoffs, you just don't can't just assume, because the fact is that the unlikeliest things have happened already, meaning that these playoff series, with the exception of Chicago against the Washington Wizards and the Miami Heat against the Charlotte Bobcats, have all gone 7. Look, think about that. Houston got eliminated yesterday, I mean on Friday, with a game 7. I think it was. Anyway, it doesn't make a difference. We're talking about game 7 on Saturday and what we're going to be talking about on Sunday also. These game 7s, all these series have been thrilling. So maybe I have to reassess whether I should watch these or not, because I didn't watch the earlier games, but I've watched the games that I should say the earlier games. When I'm saying the games earlier in the series, but I've watched the games that are later in the series, and you can see the intensity's picked up, the level of play has picked up. The teams that are the higher seeds finally decide to wake up and play like their seeding dictates, and they've come through. So the first game was Atlanta against the Indianapolis Pacers, and quite naturally in Indianapolis, and Indianapolis pulled that out, like I said. The second game I just talked about was Memphis visiting Oklahoma City Thunder, another 7th game, and I told you the score, 120 to 109. And then the last game of the night, before I move on to another subject. And this is ironically, the NBA in the infinite wisdom left the best for last, but the most talked about, the most interesting, and the most want to see would be the Golden State Warriors versus the LA Clippers. And there's a lot of drama and a lot of things going on both sides, as you should know. If you know what's going on in the NBA, if you follow the news in the NBA, you know there's a lot of drama on both sides. Quite naturally, everybody knows about Donald Sterling, the owner of the LA Clippers, and the remarks he's made and the drama that's entailed over the last week, and the things that have been done and said. He's banned for life from the league. The league, starting with the commissioner, is going to try to force a sale to someone else to get Sterling completely away from the NBA and not have any affiliation with the LA Clippers. Doc Rivers not wanting to talk to the owner at all, trying to keep his team together with the remarks that were made about the ethnicity of for the majority of the players in the league, how he feels about minorities and all. I'm talking about Donald Sterling and Doc Rivers trying to keep his team together. And you can see the elation in the game, and you can see the emotions in the game when it was coming to a conclusion. Now, for those who've been in a vacuum, you've had to watch this game because this game, and I got to watch the tail end of this game because Golden State is a prolific scoring team with a prolific scorer on it, as Stephon Curry, who shoots threes as soon as he steps a foot over the half-court line and can make them on a consistent basis. And I'm not exaggerating when I'm saying that. He looks to shoot the three as soon as he steps over the half-court line, and he's done it more than once. I would say this is probably one of the most entertaining series I've watched. Now, I've watched a few games because I happen to be a fan of Stephon Curry. I like the way he plays. And to be able to watch a pure shooter, no matter what, no matter who is on him, absolutely shoot the basketball like you've never seen anyone ever shoot the ball. Now, I've seen Reggie Miller. I've seen a lot of great shooters play and shoot the basketball. I have never, ever, 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 and I'll be 60 tomorrow, in all my years of when I've watched the NBA, seen a guy that can shoot the ball like Stephon Curry. From everywhere on the court, without a doubt, he's got to be one of the most prolific three-point shooters I have ever seen. Not just shooting the basketball from two-point range. I'm talking about three-point range. And you know, from some of these that he shoots, this should be a four-point range because he has no conscience about shooting a 30-foot jumper and draining it consistently. So when you have a team with a Blake Griffin, with DeAndre Jordan, and with Chris Paul and a company who are good scorers, not great scorers, and a pretty physical team dominating, especially on the defensive end, they're good offense, but they have a very good defensive presence when they play against a team that, let's face it, doesn't play the best defense. Their best defense is their offense with Stephon Curry and Klay Thompson and company. I wouldn't say it's a perfect storm, but it's a more physical team against a team that is not physical and likes to shoot the ball from three-point range and do it on a consistent basis. And if you can play that way and give a little defense, you're going to get games like they played. Now, let me just go to this series. Before I go here, with the exception of one game, Saturday, April 19th, the Clippers and the Warriors play their first game, 109-104. Second game, the Clippers had to win that second game to make it 1-1 going back to Golden State, and quite naturally, they won a game, and the Golden State Warriors did not come to play. They won that game, including the Clippers, 138-98, beating by 40 points. That's the biggest win of the series, okay? Because after that, they come back, the Clippers win now, 98-96. That's 2 point. Then the Warriors come back and beat the Clippers, 118-97. Then in Game 5, which was on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, um, It was the Clippers winning again, 113-103. 10 points. That's a decent win. Then they come back, and a game thriller on Thursday night, game six, could be a closeout game for the Clippers, and they can go home and rest a little bit. Nope. Warriors said, not today. We're going to get to game seven and win it, a thriller, 100-99, setting up what took place on Saturday, yesterday, in L.A. with the Clippers. And I'm telling you, even though it was a five-point win, it was a lot closer than that because people on both sides, clutch is not the word. Guys were hitting clutch shots in this game. You had to watch the game. It was one hell of a game. And the Clippers outlasted the Golden State Warriors 126-121 with hold on a minute here, people. Stephon Curry scoring 33 points and 9 assists and 5 rebounds. Klay Thompson chipped in 15 points. Andre Iguodala, 14 points. David Lee with 13 points and 13 rebounds, which everyone knows he's a double-double as soon as he steps on the floor. And Draymond Green stepped up big time, trying to get his team to the next level in the playoffs. 24 points and 7 rebounds, but too much was Mr. Blake Griffin. Even though he only had 5 rebounds, he chipped in with 6 assists, 3 blocks, and 24 points. Now, this was an evenly distributed points across the board here. 6 guys in double figures, 4 of them in over 20 points. Like I said, Blake Griffin had 24 points. Chris Paul had 22 points along with 14 assists. J.J. Redick had 3-for-8 from the three-point line with 20 points. And Mr. Sixth Man of the Year, Jamal Crawford, had 22 points, and he was 3-of-6 from three-point range. So they had six guys in double figures. Four of them with over 20 points, with 20 points or more. And they pulled out a 5-point win. I can tell you right now, people, this is going to be, it has been already and still is going to be. These two teams do not like each other. The two coaches have a lot of respect for each other. But these two teams do not like each other, and the level of play when these two teams get together is must-see TV. And I hope, because there's been rumors that Mark Jackson may not be the coach if they didn't get past or didn't go deep into the playoffs because he doesn't get along or the owner does not like the coach for whatever reason. And Stephon Curry or the players would be surprised if not Mark Jackson was not the coach of 2014-2015 season. And I would be surprised. But I think Mark Jackson is a hell of a coach with a young team like this and is saying and doing the right thing with this team and getting the most of what he has with this team out of this team. So it would be, in my opinion, a miscarriage of justice if the owner of the Golden State Warriors decide to go in another direction for whatever reason. If it's a personality thing, I know he's the owner of the team. He can do whatever he wants with the team. But realistically, if you want your team to play at a high level, and you have a coach that can get that team to do it, even though you may not like the coach, you may not agree with whatever the coach, whatever about the coach you don't like, it only is common sense for you to keep that coach in place and let things play out. And maybe at one point the team stops listening to this coach, but for now, the best thing for you is to keep this coach in place, have the players happy, and see how it plays out. I mean, you may be only one piece, one player away from getting past a team like the Clippers, going to the second round and beyond. You got to be in it to win it. So anything can happen in the playoffs, obviously. In the first round of these playoffs, the majority of them, except for two series, are going to seven games. So it's got to be something going on here. Anyway, let's move to the last. That was the last game. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's move on to this. Yesterday was the and I'll get to it in a minute here, was the was running of the Kentucky Derby, where the favorite of the Kentucky Derby going into the Derby was a horse that was bred from an $8,000 mare to a $2,500 stallion, and it produced the winner of the world's most famous race with their one horse stable that the owners Perry Martin and Steve Coburn came up with this horse. All right, Coburn, who turned 61 same day as my wife's birthday, got the greatest birthday present he could possibly ever get with California Chrome winning the Kentucky Derby in 2 minutes and 3 seconds, and paid $7. So he went off at 5-2. And believe it or not, it was the second largest crowd of 164,906 people at second largest in the Derby's 140-year-old history. 140 years they've been running this Kentucky Derby. I did play the Kentucky Derby. They had a pick four. There was a 13 race card yesterday, and the 10th race to the 13th race were the what they call a pick four, where you have to pick the winners of four consecutive races, and when you do that, the payoff can be astronomical, especially with large. Large fields of horses. When I say large field, I mean horses that have a field of 10 to 12 horses or more. The more horses, the more betting interest. The more betting interest, the money spread out all over, and the payoffs happen to be a lot higher. We got a caller in from the 202. I happen to know who this guy is. Let me bring him in, and we'll go from there. Good morning, caller from the 202. Welcome to the master plan on the Fantasy Sportsbook Casino and CarnivalCasino.com hotline. Hello, Victor. How are you?
Turned down for what? What's going on, bro?
How you doing?
I'm up here still at work, but I'm driving. So I decided to give you a call real quick and talk to you. Since I know that your counterpart, the person that's blowing you out this week,
yeah, I'm gonna talk about it. He's blowing me out. I understand that. And like I said from the beginning, when the fantasy baseball season, I'm gonna talk about each matchup and where I'm at. And he tried to call me out, saying, "How come I'm not talking about it?" But as you know, I've said I talk about every matchup every Sunday on my show, whether I win or not. And I'm gonna talk about it. And he's kicking my rear end all over the place. Let me put it this way. And I knew I had lost this from the first, at least the first day, maybe the second day, because my bats did absolutely nothing, and his bats exploded early on, and I was never able to catch up. So, I mean, it is what it is. His pitching, obviously, it's a perfect storm because everything is working for him and nothing except for the exception of my bats that have woken up the last few days. But I'm too far behind to even catch up. I may catch him in maybe two or three categories, but it doesn't make a difference. He's definitely kicking my butt. And it is what it is. I can't say anything other than that he's kicking my rear end from start to finish, basically. So I got to hand it to him.
He wanted me to pass this message on.
Go ahead.
He said, has there ever been a 20-0 score? And I said, well, we usually do more than 20 categories, but this year we're only doing 20. He said, well, this will be the first 20-0 score for the league. He wanted me to pass that on to you.
That's not happening.
I know. And
it's not happening. In fact, I'm probably catching him on two categories at least. So
18-2. Okay. Well, it is. What
no,
it's
15-3. It's 15-3 now. So I'm telling you right now, I'll probably catch him in two. From what I'm seeing, I'll probably catch him in two categories, at least two. But it doesn't make a difference. I'm still getting blown out.
Okay. Well, he wanted me to pass that on to you. And
well,
I'm going to let you talk for a minute because I got to go into the store. But when I get back, I'm going to talk about the travesty that went down last night in boxing, which shows that it's rigged. And I didn't get to see the end of the Clippers-Warriors game, so you might have to talk to me about it. But I got to put you on hold for like 5 minutes. Be right back, okay?
Well, you do what you got to do.
All right.
All right. Like I said, California Chrome, a very cheap horse. Usually these horses are bred from stallions and mares that are thousands of not hundreds of thousands, but tens of thousands of dollars that are bred crossbred to each other. And an $8,000 mare to a $2,500 stallion is a once in a lifetime anomaly. Like I said, this is a dream come true because that's the only way that thing happens is to have a horse the combination of two horses that are, in all essence, very cheap horses to bring out a horse that wins the Kentucky Derby like he did with with the win that he pulled out. It's got to be very impressive. Let me put it this way. Everything has gotten gotten this horse to this point. I have to give to Al Sherman, who happened to be the trainer of this horse, a lot of credit that he would do this. It this things like this. It's what's good about horse racing, that a horse that virtually, I mean, he's won some races, but virtually comes out of nowhere, with the pedigree that he has, it virtually comes out of nowhere, and wins this race. You got a guy that one owner is a has a job as a press operator at a 13-employee company that makes magnet strips for credit cards and driver's license. And the other guy is running a laboratory that tests high-reliability equipment like car airbags and medical equipment. These two guys formed a partnership based on a handshake, and the wives are friends who enjoy the sport too. And from what I understand, the group came up with the California Chrome's name by drawing it out of a hat. The horse hadn't even been out of his home state until this week. So, unbelievable. This horse has exclusively raced in California. The stable is DAP Racing, which stands for Dumbass Partners. And their silks include an image of a donkey. These guys only own one horse. And the one horse that they owned is the horse that won the Kentucky Derby. Unbelievable story. And that's one of the great things about horse racing, that you don't have to have the pomp and circumstance of a lot of money and bred from million-dollar horses to million-dollar horses to get a horse to win in the Kentucky Derby, and this is proof that things like that do happen. And for the guy, one of the owners, to win the Kentucky Derby on his birthday is another good thing. All right, Victor, you're back. What's up?
Well, you know, stranger things happen. I mean, people with dumb names of organizations or horses or whatever, it happens. I also know people that call themselves Moneyball and always, never humble, always talking, sometimes lose as well. Well, they lose quite often. But horse racing is a crapshoot. Really, literally, a crapshoot. You don't know what's going to happen with the roll of the dice. That's why I think you were talking about people drawing money and stuff like that. The Kentucky Derby is symbolic. It's the old Southern thing, if you dig what I'm saying. So it's cool. It's cool. People will dress up in these tawdry little outfits. And I say tawdry, not in the sense of, like, Heidi Fleiss, I'm about to, you know, take care of business type, but in these god-awful bright colors and crap like that. But in a culture of that type of arena of horse breeding, horse racing, it's derived from the South. It's derived from back in the day, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it doesn't surprise you that a horse that was named something weird, or the organization that owns the horse is Dumb Ass Guys or whatever it's called. Crazy things happen. Speaking of crazy things, I don't know if you talked about it already, but I want to get your thoughts on this Medina Mayweather fight. I'm going to tell you why. Mainly because I didn't see it. However, I caught it on replay, some of it, because I got in late and I'm at work now. But from what I understand, the young man pretty much beat Floyd. He just beat him, plain and simple. And one ref had a tie score, and one ref, or judge, I should say, had a tie score, and one judge gave Mayweather the overwhelming decision, 117-111.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out, is boxing that corrupt? or is this just another way for Floyd to sponsor his own cause of generating funds for a rematch? Super going to say, oh, well, he really lost the fight. They need to fight again, da-da-da-da-da, only to have more pay-per-view buys. And if people fall into that trap, I feel sorry for them. I really do. I have no intention of falling into that trap. You know what I mean? But I just want to get your thoughts.
Well, I watched this fight. I watched the whole fight. I didn't pay for it, but I had ways of watching the fight, if you know what I mean. Thanks to Black. I've been doing this ever since Black has informed me of. I'll just keep it at that. I watched this whole fight, and 117 to 111, 116 to 112. No, I didn't see that. I saw it a lot closer than that. I saw it a 114, 114, 115, 113. And it could go on, let me put it this way, Victor, how I've seen it. It could go on either way. That's how close this fight was. I mean, the Madonna, from about the sixth or seventh round, and I watched the two fighters carefully from in every round and after every round, going to the chair and getting up and coming back into the ring for the next round. From about the sixth or seventh round, you could see that Madonna had spent herself quite a bit, and he was sucking air from about the seventh round on. I think he may have expended himself too much in the early rounds trying to make a point and trying to because he was getting to Floyd. He was laying some over the head type of shots to Floyd in the early rounds, especially the first round, and spent himself, but he expended a lot of energy, and if he had paced himself a lot better, even though he gave himself a good account in the from 8th to the 12th round, I think he could have gave himself a better account of himself if he had a little bit more of that energy that he had in the earlier rounds. But in my opinion, it wasn't a 17-11 fight or a 16-12 fight. It was more a 14-14 or 15-13 type of fight. And in my opinion, it could have gone either way. If you had watched the look on Floyd at the end of the fight, you knew that in my mind, I saw it wasn't conclusive. Let me put it that way. You can see that he was a little worried about what was going to happen because the fight was that close. He did not dominate this fight by no means. Some of the rounds, Madonna dominated. Some of the rounds, Floyd dominated, and then some of these rounds were even. So, just like you, Victor, I was a little leery because they too quickly said, I mean, extremely quickly said, how about a rematch? And both these guys pretty much agreed to a rematch almost right away without a second thought. And I agree with you. That doesn't pass the smell factor for me.
Well,
you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. I was waiting for you to finish. I look at it like this. How many fights does Floyd have on his contract with HBO?
Three more fights.
Okay. So he picked this one fighter, said the people picked it, which we know really isn't the case because a lot of people don't want to see it. Madonna stepped up because in the past, you know, he would flounder just before he had a fight with Floyd. So now it becomes an issue of how can I draw interest in this match? How? They just found a way to draw interest. We're talking about it. People are interested in seeing what went down. And if they see the fight on replay, they'll be like, okay, well, let's get it. So, for me, boxing's corrupt. I love MMA just for that reason. Not saying it's not corrupt, but I think you have to look at the facts and say, okay, well, you know what? Floyd has no real opponent other than Pac-Man. He's not going to fight Pac-Man. So why, you know, what can I do to generate money and make myself look good at the same time and finish a guy that I really should have finished? I'll have a lackluster performance. Somehow, some way, everybody say, well, you got to knock the champ out in order to beat him. And then that'll get things going again. That's just the way I see it. You can talk about Don King all day as far as his corrupt behavior. You can. You can talk about it. But at least you knew Don was crooked, and Don even let you know at some point he might have been crooked. Floyd and his team, I just don't see that. I don't agree with. But I'm down with that.
Well, let me premise this as people, and I'm not saying this is why he's saying this, but Victor is not a Floyd Mayweather fan. So I'm going to say it like that. He's not a Floyd Mayweather fan. So,
Well, you're not.
I got to say that. I got to be truthful here. You're not a Mayweather fan. So,
However, I will say, and I said it before a little while ago, meaning several months ago, I prefer his form of bragging and antics over Adrian Broner, who I heard had a good account of himself as well.
Let me briefly tell you about Adrian Broner's fight, because I watched that fight also. I'm not too impressed. I think they put somebody in front of him that he could actually beat. I think they put somebody in front of him for him to gain his confidence. What I've watched, the Adrian Broner, especially in this fight, especially the antics of Adrian Broner, I like the kid. Well, I'm going to have to retract that. I'm off his bandwagon. I'm off his being a fan, because this guy's too much of a wannabe, Floyd, and he's not that. And he's a pretty good fighter, but as Medina showed, he has flaws, and you knew going into this fight he wasn't going to lose this fight. This was a fight just to get his name back out there and give him some confidence. But this was just he brought it like he was the end all, the be all, and he's not all that. So he getting paid, and he's lucky he's in a Mayweather camp, because otherwise his story would be passe. Somebody would have knocked him out. Medina put him in his place and humbled him somewhat. And if he was any kind of, and I'll come out and say this, if he was any kind of boxer, he would have brought somebody other than this this bum to fight, because that, if you thought what happened in the Floyd Mayweather Madonna fight was a travesty, this was a travesty. This was a joke. I do feel sorry for people paying for that, because you knew walking into the ring because Adrian Broner was going to win that fight, and it wasn't even close. So I mean, it was just
a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, exactly. That's all it was. I mean, come on, it was ridiculous. I didn't get a chance to see the fight before the Adrian Broner fight, but I did see the last two fights, the Broner fight and the Mayweather fight. And like I said, 17-11 and 16-12, no. No, more in the 14-14, 15-13 range. And in my opinion, it could have gone either way, even though I thought Mayweather did just enough to go that way. Let me put it this way. If we had the judging of some other fights in this fight, Mayweather may have lost this, if you know what I mean.
I got you. So
I
mean, you know, folks are going to say and going to do what they want, and they're going to tout Mayweather for, you know, defeating him and da-da-da-da-da, but I just don't see the legitimacy of his fighting the guy. I was in formation, and one of my coworkers said he really didn't train for this fight. That's why he was looking like that. And
no,
I said,
no,
that's crap.
No.
Mayweather
yeah.
fights, he trains all the time.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So.
Yep. You can't be 46-0 and not train, man. You cannot be 46-0, undefeated, and not train, because the one time you don't train is the one time you get beat. And he's got too much money riding us on it and too much pride riding on it to give a bad showing of himself. It's just not about that. He wants to give the best effort. And his uncle and his father, anybody in his corner is going to push him, regardless of who he is. Regardless of how much money he makes, he still has those people that are pushing him to be the best in the ring. Plain and simple.
Oh yeah.
And he wants him to. And
oh,
yeah. he wants him to push him. Plain and simple. So.
It happens, you know. Again, I'm not dogging Floyd Mayweather because I don't like him. It's just the fact that I just see this as a ploy to get more pay-per-view buy, honestly. I do.
Well, it could be.
Whether
I mean, it's a possibility.
And again, I'm not saying that's what he's doing, but that's just the way I feel. You know, so it is what it is. And I think that some people will see that as well. And we may or may not get that rematch and pay-per-view buys that some people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Finish with your show, homeboy. Finish with your show. I'll sit to the side real quick. I'm looking for some stuff anyway.
Well, we got 2 minutes left in the show, so, I mean, less than 2 minutes. So I'm about to close this show out because this is a birthday weekend. My wife's treating me today. I treated her yesterday, and now she's treating me today. And we're going to be doing a little fantasy sports book casino .com today down in AC, down in Lang City. So,
just make sure you go to fantasy sportsbook and casino.com and place a few wagers. Since you're going down to AC, we can do it from the comforts of your home or your cell phone. Just go to fantasy sportsbook and casino.com, register, load your card up, and happy spending. That's all I say.
With that being said, I appreciate you jumping on here in the last 15, 20 minutes. Enjoy your rest of the day. Next time you talk to me, I'll be 60 years old. My birthday's tomorrow on Cinco de Mayo. So tune in on Thursday where 8 o'clock, the FSP Cruise Show will be on, and also we'll be talking about the NFL draft. Starts May 8th, the same time. It's live, we're going to be talking about it. So while the draft is taking place, the first hour, we may even go on an hour and a half on that.
Really?
It may be 2 hours.
Set it up for 2 hours. Set it up for two
yeah,
hours.
2 hours, because I want to be able to talk about who's drafting what and where they drafted them at, and you know we're going to have trades. So tune in, 8 p.m., Eastern Standard Time on Thursday, where we'll be have a special FSP crew show. It'll be 2 hours covering the NFL draft while it's going on. With that being said, I want to have you enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy until we talk again. And we out.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.